Good afternoon. Let me start by saying that we continue to pray for all the victims of the Key Bridge collapse and their families. And our four directives have been clear. First, give closure and comfort to the families. The second, clear the channel and fully open the vessel traffic to the port. The third, take care of all the people who have been affected by this crisis. And the fourth, rebuild the Key Bridge. From the earliest days, we've laid out those four directives. And there's a reason that we put closure at the very top of that list. Because in Maryland, we put our people first. In Maryland, we take care of each other. And in Maryland, we leave no one behind. In Maryland, ponemos a nuestra gente primero. In Maryland, nos cuidamos unos a otros. Y en Maryland, no dejamos a nadie atrás. So I want to start by talking about our work about bringing closure to the families. Every element of our operation comes back to this singular North Star priority. Our salvage teams are working hand in glove with our recovery teams, and every time we clear more wreckage, we assess the area to see if we're able to advance recovery. The Maryland State Police, led by Colonel Butler, continue to lead recovery operations, and they are embedded within Unified Command. And this truly is a fully unified operation. And every person on this team is in constant communication with every other person on this team. And it's not lost on anybody that we are still looking for two missing workers, two unaccounted for souls. And that search and the search for them has not changed. We are still working closely with the families of the victims, and that has not changed. We will continue to do everything in our power to bring closure and comfort to these Maryland families. And that will not change. And I want to thank Unified Command and this entire team and all of our first responders for never forgetting about bringing closure to these families. We've been moving together since day one, and we're going to continue moving forward together. Now, second, on clearing the Federal Channel and fully opening vessel traffic to the port. Last week, Unified Command opened a fourth temporary limited channel with controlling depth of 38 feet. And since we last spoke, there have been 19 transits through that channel, 9 vessels traveled into the port, and 10 departed from the port. And these vessels have been carrying everything from sugar to cement to fertilizer to lumber. And those transits supported the work of nearly 200 members of the International Longshoremen's Association. Now, as I said last week, that's an important milestone. But as we also said, it's a temporary solution. We cannot take our eye off the ball. The focus is making sure that we are going to open the 50-foot channel, and we will. And you've already heard about the Chesapeake 1000, or the Chessie. It's the largest salvage crane available on the eastern seaboard. Now today, I want to talk about Chessie's partner, the Gus. And that's the nickname for the largest hydraulic grabber in the entire country that is now here in Baltimore. The Gus is right here helping us out, and we have a photo of Gus that I want to show you. Thank you. So this over here you see is the Chessie, the largest crane we're just mentioning. This right here is the Chessie's partner, the Gus. This crane right here has a weight of 160 metric tons. That's the weight of the Gus, and the Gus, when it is has its arms out. The Gus is 29 by 29. Just understanding the how massive this, sorry, apologize. There you go. How massive this pull is right here. So 29 by 29. The Gus has a capacity to be able to pull upwards of 1,000 tons in a single pull outside of the water. And just this far, the work of the Gus, along with the work of the other cranes and operations, we now have currently over 100 assets within the water, to include boats, cranes, etc. Just the pull that we have thus far has equated to over 3,300 tons that have been pulled from the water thus far, just as a sense of you know, what type of scale that, again, we're talking, a pull of, where you're talking about the singular size of, call it the Statue of Liberty, is 350 tons. We pulled over 3,300 tons of steel from the water. That's the work that Unified Command has expertly conducted over the process of these past weeks. And so you see here, even just by simply looking at the size of it, this is a remarkably complicated operation that Unified Command is leading on. And we know that they have also laid out not just a strategy in order to get it done, but a full operation and executable plan in order to make that happen. Which brings us to the next point, the use of precision cuts. Now, we've already talked about the work and our work to remove containers from the dolly so we can access more of the wreckage. And I'm pleased to announce that that phase of the operation is now complete. In total, we have lifted 182 containers from the dolly, completing the larger mission of container removal from the dolly. So now that we can access that part of the bridge that's directly on top of the dolly, we need to cut and clear it. And that work is remarkably complicated. We're talking about a massive piece of steel. And on one end, the steel is leaning against a vessel that is the size of the Eiffel Tower. And on the other end, it's leaning against the bottom of the riverbed. And so this work is dangerous. And we need to make sure that we put the safety of the salvage team first in everything that we do. And Unified Command has laid out that responsible strategy for clearing the wreckage on top of the dolly so that nobody gets hurt. We will depend on the highest industry standards and effective precedents to make this happen. And in fact, the strategy we will use on the Key Bridge is the same one that was used for the removal and the replacement of the Harry Nice Bridge in Charles County. Now, I've said from Jump Street that safety is paramount at every stage of this operation. We've gotten to a point now that with countless operations that Unified Command has gotten done, there has not been a single injury. And that is a standard going forward. That's the benchmark. And this operation in no way will interfere with our three other directives. It will not disrupt our efforts to bring closure and comfort to the families. It will not disrupt our efforts to support the people who have been impacted. And it will not disrupt our efforts to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Which brings me to our third directive, taking care of our people. Our administration has launched four different programs to help businesses affected by the collapse at three different state agencies: the Maryland Department of Labor, the Maryland Department of Commerce, the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. And to date, we've received nearly 500 applications to four state programs and approved more than $13 million in grants and loans to businesses. The Maryland Department of Labor is also spearheading an initiative to connect workers with financial assistance. It is called the State Worker Support Program. Our Department of Labor has approved more than $1.5 million in payments to Marylanders. And these programs are helping Marylanders who have spent their careers supporting the Port of Baltimore and supporting Marylanders. These programs are helping the mom-and-pop lunch counter that saw foot traffic fall by half after the bridge fell. These programs are helping the truck drivers and the entrepreneurs who are all Maryland families. And if you want to learn more about the resources available to you or your businesses, please go to response.maryland.gov/bridge. We are taking a full all-of-government approach to this work, and that includes every single level of government. And I want to thank all of our friends at the local levels, Mr. Mayor, for their work in helping Marylanders in need. And also want to thank the Biden-Harris administration for their support in this work. Because as of this morning, the Biden-Harris administration has approved $5 million in loans through the Small Business Administration. Mr. President, thank you for your continued support of Maryland and Baltimore. Now, fourth, on rebuilding the Francis Scott Key Bridge. In order to rebuild this bridge, we need the support of the United States Congress. I was on Capitol Hill 2 weeks ago to meet with lawmakers. I was on Capitol Hill last week to meet with lawmakers. This week, I will be on Capitol Hill again to meet with lawmakers. And tomorrow, I'm attending a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus to discuss how we can work together to rebuild this bridge. And later this week, we will welcome Republican Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Chair to Baltimore, and the entire House Appropriations Committee to Baltimore. And we've already had members of Congress going from Florida to Washington State show up to see the wreckage. And we look forward to Chairman Cole's visit and to the visit of the other members of the committee. Chairman Cole's committee won't just get to see the site of the collapse. They'll also get a chance to meet the men and women who are at the heart of this operation. And every day, I have the honor of continuing to meet more Marylanders who prove what it means to be Maryland tough and Baltimore strong. And today, we are joined by Detective Sergeant Justin Updegraff from the Maryland State Police and their underwater recovery team. And I said at the top of my remarks that that we had to put closure to these families at the top of our list, and that's why it was very intentionally the number one directive. And this Maryland State Trooper that you see next to me, he's on the front lines of this work. On any given day, we have a minimum of 25 divers ready to deploy. 10 of them are members of the Maryland State Police Underwater Recovery Team, and Detective Sergeant Updegraff serves as commander. He has served with the Maryland State Police for 17 years. He's been on the underwater recovery team for 12 years, and he was born right in Baltimore County, Maryland. I also found out that he served as a Marine, so he didn't do everything right with his life. Detective Sergeant Updegraff has raised his hand to serve so others can be safe. He's raised his hand to serve so other families could feel protected. He's raised his hand to serve so other families can get closure. Sergeant Updegraff, you're the best of us. And I want to say directly, thank you for proving what it means to be Maryland tough and Baltimore strong. Now, in a moment, I will hand it over to Admiral Gilreath, representing Unified Command. And after him, we will hear from the Mayor of Baltimore, Mayor Scott. And I want to thank all of our additional partners who are here today for their continued and 24/7 commitment to making sure we get this right. I will now turn it over to Admiral Gilreath.
Good afternoon. Our thoughts and prayers remain with the families of the victims as we continue to try to recover their remains. As the governor mentioned, we have made a tremendous amount of progress so far on restoring commerce to the Port of Baltimore. The limited access channel that we opened last week for 4 days, we moved 19 vessels through that. But in total, all of the limited access channels, we've moved more than 200 vessels in and out of the Port of Baltimore since those reopenings. So I'm tremendously proud of the work of the Unified Command in helping to achieve that and help get folks in Baltimore back to work. That's very important and something that we are going to keep as a top priority for Unified Command. So to give you an update on where we're going from the Unified Command, we are continuing to make progress on removing the debris from the deep draft channel. As we have temporarily suspended transits through that limited access channel, we have put to work the Chessie and Gus, as the governor described, to continue to remove debris to make that channel deeper and wider for future transits. Simultaneously, we continue to work to remove the dolly. We continue our planning efforts in that regard. We completed removing all the containers that we needed to remove off the bow of the ship to make that operation as safe as possible. And we're going to continue to plan to use precision cutting to make that operation as safe as possible to all of the salvors doing that job. We are also removing some pieces of a truss off the starboard side of the vessel as well to, again, prepare to refloat the dolly as soon as we can get the larger section off the bow. Now, in regards to removing debris from the remainder of the channel, the state and their contractor have been doing a tremendous job doing that as well, making great progress, mostly, most recently, on the north side of the bridge, and continue to make great strides there, removing steel, which we are moving back to Trade Point, and offloading and cutting up for recycling. And they're doing tremendous work there, very proud of what they're doing. So those are the updates I have for you today from Unified Command. I'll now turn it over to Mayor Scott.
Thank you, Admiral. Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. It has now been 5 weeks since we had an unthinkable tragedy that left six Maryland families without their loved ones and disrupted the way of life for thousands of others. We continue to hold those families close and all those impacted by the collapse of the Key Bridge. And we continue to do this together. To the families enduring this unimaginable pain, we will always be with you and by your side. You are not grieving alone. And while none of us understand exactly what you are feeling, your heartbreak is shared by countless hearts and souls throughout, not just Baltimore, not just Maryland, but throughout the country and the world. And we will continue to be alongside you every step of the way. The governor mission, the necessary move to pressure cutting, we know that we have to continue to move forward so that, number one, we can bring closure to these families. Two, that we can reopen the channel and allow us to get down to the work of rebuilding the bridge. Every piece of metal lifted, every layer of the wreckage removed, brings us closer to getting those goals done. First, bringing closure to those families, and then, obviously, reopening the channel. We will continue to do this as we have done every single thing throughout this tragedy and endeavor together. Next, I want to talk about the support that the city is offering, in addition to that being offered by our great partners in President Biden and the federal government and our congressional delegation, our great partner and leader in this Unified Command, Governor Moore, and state government. We have resources available from the city posted at baltimorecity.gov/keybridge. We will continue to make utility bill, water bill, and rental assistance available for poor impacted workers through our Office of Children and Family Success. Our Port Worker Wage Subsidy Program has received applications from 61 businesses serving over 100 workers. I want to thank our Office of Employment Development for standing up so quickly to support those businesses. And the fund that has been organized by the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs has now raised in more than $750,000 in donations to go directly towards those families. While no amount of money can heal the pain that these families are feeling, we want to make sure that they know that they will have their bases covered and will be with them as they navigate this most difficult time. MEMA continues to work with the governor's office, our federal partners, our county partners, our community partners, to ensure that these families, including organizations like the Esperanza Center, have what they need as they work through this crisis. And lastly, I want to again thank this unified command. 5 weeks ago, none of us knew that we would be here today. None of us could even imagine what we would have to work through in this kind of tragedy. But this group has led in a way where you've seen connectivity, when you see one sound, one band, working towards the goals that have been laid out. I would not want to go through a battle with any team other than this one, because they've stayed focused on the mission, people first, as the governor always put. But most importantly, we've done it together in a connected way to make sure that all this tremendous progress that we've made thus far will only open the door for even greater progress to come in the near future. Thank you, Mr. Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you elaborate on the recovery of the final missing workers? Is it a case of not knowing where they are, or do you know where they are and they're just not accessible because of all the wreckage?
As we said from the very beginning, it's very poor visibility down there. There's so much debris. We believe we have areas of interest, but we're unable to access those areas of interest. That's why it's so important for the Unified Command divers to work in conjunction with the salvage divers to communicate what they're seeing, where they're locating things, and allow the Unified Command divers to develop an effective plan or survey to determine where they're going to search once they have that area declared safe. No, we're working in generalizations of areas where we think they should be based on sonar images and other mapping techniques.
Right, we're going to Amy.
Hi, just to piggyback off of that, do you believe that the bodies also will be recovered by the May 10th deadline for the ship being moved, or do you have any sense of the timeline for that piece of it?
We are exclusively focused on bringing closure to these families. When we had our first conversations with the family, literally the morning that happened, we promised them that we would stop at nothing to make sure that we could support them. And at that time, during a search and rescue mission, and even when the search and rescue mission became a recovery mission, we told them the commitment to them and the commitment to stop at nothing to make sure we're bringing closure and comfort to them was consistent and would not stop.
Do you have any sort of timeline, though, for, like, the cleanup process itself? Sorry.
What we know is we are putting forward every single asset that we have at our disposal to bring closure and comfort to these families.
Hi. So over the weekend, a few media outlets had a chance to get up close to Gus, and one of the Coast Guard members that we did an interview with mentioned that the grabber would be primarily used to get the debris once the dolly had been removed. Have plans for the grabber changed at all, or is it just working in a different part of the river?
We had an opportunity to use the Gus a little earlier, and so now we're working in the federal deep draft channel to continue to remove debris while we're working to plan to remove the dolly. So we did not want to lose that opportunity because that allows us to continue to make progress to reopen that as fast as possible and do it safely.
Hi, yeah, I had a question about the timeline. Is the timeline to remove the dolly within the next 2 weeks? Is May 10th the date, the tentative date to get the ship out of there?
So we've set May 10th as a tentative date to potentially reopen the channel, but I can't give you an exact date of when the dolly is going to be removed because there's a lot of factors that play into that, both the engineering, the salvage operations themselves, and weather. And so we're going to continue to move to do this safely and as fast as possible.
And Governor, I don't know if you're best to answer this, but as far as other bridges, like the Bay Bridge, for instance, you know, we're heading into the summer travel season. What's been done to make sure that those are, there are safeguards so that, you know, those potential vulnerabilities are addressed so that we don't have another tragedy?
Yeah, even prior to this tragedy of the Key Bridge, We have made the protection of critical infrastructure a highest priority for this administration, and ensuring that people, when they're on our roads and our bridges and our tunnels, that they can fear measurements of safety in doing that, knowing that there are not just evaluations that take place for every single piece of critical infrastructure, but that that is always going to be pressure tested to ensure that we can have the best results for people who are that are utilizing our roads, bridges, mass transit, et cetera. And so that has continued even since the tragedy of the Key Bridge. It will continue. And we want to assure the people of this state that that we have a full focus on ensuring that the critical infrastructure that we have in the state is not just protected, but then we're continuing to come up with long-term reinforcements for them as well.
So we were just out on the boat, and the Army Corps of Engineers said that the plan to remove the dolly is actually going to be through a controlled demolition. Can you just explain how that might work? Thank you.
So we're using a precision cutting technique to allow us to safely remove that section from the bow of the ship. And by using precision cutting techniques, we are able to institute all those cuts simultaneously, so that that's the safest possible for the salvers themselves, so that they're not trying to cut something and then something, another section collapses while they're making that cut.
Governor, you mentioned about $1.5 million in payments has been made to Marylanders to help support them during this time. About how many people have been assisted?
I'll go back and get you the exact number of individuals and individual businesses that have been supported, so we can come back and get you that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you all.
Okay. Thanks, all. Thank you.